Welcome to The Jump, presented by Best Buy.
Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. I am fresh out of quarantine for the second time here inside the Disney NBA bubble here at Walt Disney World in Florida. This time we've got Richard Jefferson along for the ride with us. We thought he was going to be here for today's show, then he wasn't here. I don't know if he is here. We'll just have to see. We'll have to see what he does or what. We have some problems here at Disney World. We'll get those sorted out. I'm joined by former number one pick of the WNBA draft, Chinay Igumike, as well as New York Times bestseller, host of the Hoop Collective podcast, Brian Windhorst. Coming up, we're going to discuss, guys, what's next for now former Rockets coach Mike D'Antoni after he notified the franchise he's not coming back. He gone. No more years in Houston. Does he have his sights set on that open job in Philadelphia? Stick around to hear the latest. But first, we've got another Game 7 here inside the NBA playoff bubble. Man, these playoffs have been so good. The Nuggets overcoming a 19-point deficit with 22 minutes to go in Game 6 to force the rubber match. It's going to be tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN, Deportes, and the app. Now, after the Nuggets' stunning comeback Sunday, Paul George and Nikola Jokic disagreed on which team has the advantage in Game 7. Take a listen.
We don't have pressure. I think the whole pressure is on them. We just go out there and have fun. Effort, I always say effort needs to be on a high level. Have fun and give your all best.
We're still in the driver's seat. I mean, it's not a panic mode. We got a Game 7. I like our odds with our group. We put ourselves in this position. And it's on us to get ourselves out of it. But it just comes down to what we do on Game 7.
You just heard Paul George say we put themselves in this position. Remember all the way back to Game 5 on Friday, the Nuggets coming back from a double-digit deficit in the second half to save their season after they went down 3-1 in this series. Now, for Clippers fans, blowing playoff games, blowing series leads, that is something that has plagued the franchise since its inception, since 2013. The Clippers been bounced out of the playoffs 5 times after holding a lead in each respective series. Most notably, of course, was that one back in 2015. Lob City held a 3-1 lead over the Rockets, only to lose that series in just heartbreaking fashion. Our former colleague, Kerry Champion, coined the phrase, "The Clippers got a clip." I can't do it as well as Kerry. You can just hear her voice there. But it means that no matter how good things are, something will keep them from accomplishing their goals. Chinay, do you believe in this? Are the Clippers clipping before our very eyes, or are they going to pull it out tomorrow night?
I think it's important that we mention that, of course, we all know Kerry is a Lakers stan, so she's, of course, going to say Clippers going to clip. But I do agree that they are starting to feel what it's like to be hunted. They've never been to the conference finals, never been to the finals. They can't relax, and they really need everybody. But most importantly, they need to create their own energy because the Nuggets seem to be like playing free. Paul George, even though he had 33 points, I think he had the team's worst plus minus, minus 23. I don't know how that happens. And Montrezl Harrell, you know, sixth man, super excited about that. He's a natural energy boost, but he's had his hands full with Jokic. They need him to play like the award he just received. And Lou Will is struggling more than we sort of expected. Kawhi, you know, he's a robotic type of scorer. He had 25 points, but he's not like the most enthusiastic when you need to like galvanize and change the momentum. So they need to build their own energy. And I know it's that much harder in the bubble. I still think the Clippers have so much talent to get it done, but it's sort of like now you have a team that is playing free, feel like they have nothing to lose. And they're playing their best basketball, you know, accordingly. So they've sort of dug themselves in a hole, but I think the Clippers are learning the lesson that they need, and they still have an opportunity to right the wrong with Game 7.
Guys, there's something going on here. And just saying that it's the Clippers losing focus or them, you know, not, you know, being able to hold on to a lead, it's more than that. The Denver Nuggets are outplaying them. The Denver Nuggets bench, which was supposed to be inferior to the six-man candidates in Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, the Denver Nuggets bench has been better. Their second-half execution has been better. Their second-half energy has been better. Their second-half coaching has been better. Montrezl Harrell has not been the same player since he came back from being away. Lou Williams has not been the same player since he came out of the NBA quarantine jail there. This is just the facts. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to change the outcome on tomorrow night for Game 7, but this is not simply the Clippers, you know, messing around. They are at the brink here, and as Doc Rivers said today, they, the Clippers, put themselves here. Nobody else, and it's up to the Clippers to get themselves out of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure Montrezl Harrell should be guarding Nikola Jokic after what we've seen the last couple games. Harrell had a good game four, though. So, I mean, it's one of these things that's a little confusing because I think I heard you mention this, Brian, that he's the sixth man of the year, not just of the team, but of the league, and yet he is not the sixth man off their bench in that last game, right? That he, Jermichael Green, came off the bench, that they have not been able to use him as they wanted to, and it goes so much deeper than that. Just so many parts of this team not functioning together the way that they can, and we've seen them do it at times this season, but we have also seen them lack cohesion at times this season, and Game 7 is not a time for that. We will have to see if they can pull it together. I want to get to some coaching news, though, now, because Houston, Mike D'Antoni informed the Rockets he is becoming a free agent, will not be back with the team next season, just completed the final year of his contract. Here's the statement that D'Antoni gave to ESPN yesterday, quote, "It is with tremendous sadness and gratitude that my wife Laurel and I announce our incredible journey in Houston has ended for now and that we'll be moving on to a new chapter." Chinee, Houston native, is this what you were expecting?
I'm really conflicted, Rach and Brian, to be honest, because I'm like, is it possible in relationships to have like a mutual breakup? We always feel like one party is doing something right and one party's doing wrong, but this one really feels like that weird case of where it's mutual, because it sort of seemed like the relationship has reached its natural end, because at this point, I think it's bigger than coaching. We need to be introspective. I say we because you said it, I'm from Houston. We need to be introspective as a franchise. The common denominator, is it the coach or is it the players or is it a combination of both? And I think we all knew going into the season what the writing on the wall was. You know, and especially when the playoffs, you have an early exit and you don't have that contract extended, you know what is going to likely happen. I just think it's more so like this is a franchise that has leaned all the way in on player movement, you know, trying to swing big and sort of compete with the top through, you know, risking it all by changing their players. And we've done the same when it comes to analytics. And analytics has really helped us compete so much, you know, especially when it goes your way and you're knocking down so many threes and you have an amazing threat like James Harden. But I think we're at the point where we need to get back to a human element of basketball. Yes, we have the new age, the new analytics. Yes, we have top tier players, but also the most important thing about basketball is the human will to compete. And I think that will has been questioned. And sometimes it's like, okay, is the voice resonating in the players? Is it the right voice? Is it the right player? I think at this point, it's a combination of everything. But I do like Coach D'Antoni sort of, you know, taking a super classy route and saying, I acknowledge what's coming. Also knowing that he has great suitors so that he can continue his career hopefully as well.
1 week ago, Daryl Morey said that it was an off-season priority to get Mike D'Antoni re-signed. Now, maybe that was just public relations and something that you don't want to have a different message out there during a playoff series, but Mike D'Antoni pulled the reversal here, because across sports, we have seen many times where coaches have been fired at the airport. Mike D'Antoni resigned at the airport. As soon as he got back to Houston, he put out this statement. He broke up with them before they could even think about breaking up with him. And I think it's because he knows that he can hold his head high and that he's going to have other opportunities. And frankly, I don't think it's a good look for the Houston Rockets. Even if change might be good, it doesn't make them look like they handled this well.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had a contract extension offer on the table last summer. So this didn't have to be his free agent year. And they ended up not coming to an agreement over it. And it really did seem, when you talked to him over the, you know, previous months and you talked to him about whether he was going to be around back in Houston next year, he wasn't that optimistic. I was not surprised to see this resignation tendered yesterday. And with D'Antoni moving on, right, you can now add Houston to this list of current head coaching vacancies. Woj is reporting, Brian, that D'Antoni is a candidate for the Sixers' open job. Does that seem like a good potential fit to you?
It does. Number one, the Sixers need some help offensively to figure out how to get those guys to play together. Although, it's the exact inverse of what he's having in Houston, go from the fastest, smallest team to the biggest, slowest team. He has connections there because he was an assistant coach under Brett Brown. And I think that the ownership in Philadelphia is interested in Mike D'Antoni. And the reason that that's important is because general manager Elton Brand, as of now, only has 1 year left on his contract. Now, that could change. But if that's the case, then really the owner is going to have a, the ownership is going to have a say in the hiring. And I think that bodes well for D'Antoni in Philly. We'll see how it plays out.
I think it's a strong candidate, Brian, there. It's interesting you make the obvious point is that you're going from small, but we've even dubbed it micro ball, to like literally large players only, big boys only. And so if you're looking to maximize offense, then he's your guy. I just think also it's going to be interesting because you're leaving a situation where these guys are already, you know, developed in Houston with James Harden and the plethora of shooters. And we all know Russ, we hope he improves, but we sort of know where his game stands realistically. Now you're going to a situation where now your task is to develop young stars and also most importantly teach those young stars that they can't act bigger than the franchise because you haven't proven anything yet. So I think it works offensively. I'm interested to see how the players would respond to him. But I do think that they look at Houston and look at a team that has found some moderate success, and they could probably learn a lot if, you know, the transition happens.
I'm fascinated about how this musical chairs is going to go this offseason. I don't remember this many coaching openings with teams that are good. Right? You have coaching openings every year of teams that are kind of a disaster and all they can think about to do is change the coach because, gee, we can't, you know, attract free agents or we only have so many draft picks. These are a lot of openings in cities with teams with a lot of talent. I think it is going to be fascinating to see who fills and who gets which job. And Brian, it's Daryl Morey's birthday today, so happy birthday to Daryl. And he is someone, of course, who you and I both like so much personally. But what do you think of his job security in Houston right now?
Well, the Houston Rockets for the last 3 years have gone downhill. 2 years ago, they were in the conference finals, almost in the finals, had Chris Paul not gotten hurt. Last year, eliminated in the second round against the Warriors. A great opponent, but Durant got hurt in that series. They couldn't take advantage of it. This year, they go all in with this roster, and they go out 4-1, and they've won fewer games each season. They're not trending in the right direction. So there's always going to be pressure on the general manager, whether it's his fault or not. And that's a situation that is developing in Houston.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. In the meantime, Daryl, enjoy your birthday. And we, of course, are going to continue previewing all that's to come in the Western Conference here on The Jump. Coming up next, please stick around. We've got a lot going on the show today. We got make or miss after this. We're going to talk about the Lakers and whether their long rest is an advantage for them. Rest versus rust, we'll discuss.
The Jump is presented by Best Buy. If you can't be there, feel there. Bring the game home when you upgrade to a big Sony TV today. And in part by Dos Equis, a most interesting beer. Please enjoy responsibly.
Cue me in, do the clapping, and be like, action. It's a make or miss league.
Maybe a little more funny than that.
I don't know what am I make or missing? It's a make or miss league. Cut that.
Thank you, Jimmy. Miss penalties, Chargers, Bengals. Watch Jermaine Pratt here, really sells the contact. Chanae, this Marcus Smart has to approve this flop, right? Come on.
No, he only approves flops that actually amount in good plays. Like, it's cool right while it's there, but, like, you have to actually accomplish something with the flop. He's top tier. Like, always.
Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. But if it was Marcus, he would tell this guy, you got to stay down on the ground. You can't get right back up. You got to complete the sale.
Right. This is a good point. Man's an expert. He gets it done. I always remind people that if it works, it's part of contributing to your team. Nikola Jokic, some wild shots yesterday. Brian, is there anyone else in the league who can hit this shot? Take a look.
No. And there probably shouldn't be anybody that tries it. By the way, it doesn't always go in, but it goes in enough that he can keep shooting it. He is one of one in the NBA right now.
Look, he doesn't have
right. It's not the distance. It's the arc, the way that he
exactly
does.
Exactly, right. He doesn't have much lift off the ground, but he makes up for it in his shot.
All right, miss friendship. Russell Westbrook driving in, gets turned away by LeBron. This was an ongoing theme for this entire Lakers-Rockets series. Why was LeBron picking on Russ like this?
You know, LeBron could have talked some trash because some of these were flat nasty, but he likes Westbrook, so his respect was that he didn't show him up after he did it. Now, other guys in the league, including Steph Curry, he has not been afraid to make a little maneuver after making these plays, but I got to tell you, watching this, it's a rough watch for Rockets and Westbrook fans.
Look, Brian, you're talking about the face that Bron does after big plays. You're talking about respect? Like, if it's my friend, I'm not doing that to my friend. I'm not volleyball swatting it. I'm just going to tap it out of bounds.
Well, I mean, it's respect among opponents today. Come on. Still got a little flavor. Got to put a little flavor on it. Make mistakes. Austin Rivers drawing the foul. Slaps the ball out of frustration. And this hit LeBron in the head. Now, LeBron wheels around Austin very quick to assure him this was just a mistake. Janae, does this remind you at all? Remember the Tyler Hansborough Meta World Peace one from a few beers back?
Yeah. You turn around and you sort of remember who you're dealing with. But you know what's funny? I watched the Versus battle yesterday? Or a couple days ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched the Versus battle. It's like when your auntie says stop doing something and then immediately you get shook. Yeah, that's the same feeling I got when LeBron turned around.
I'm going further old school. I'm going Devo in Friday. But he doesn't talk if Devo's there. When he leaves, he'll be talking again.
You can have my chain.
His grandmama gave him that chain.
I love it. Let's stick with the Lakers, guys. After taking care of business in Game 5 on Saturday, the Lakers will have 5 full days of rest before the Western Conference Finals begin on Friday. The winner of Clippers-Nuggets series, they will have 2 days off before resetting for the Lakers. Chinee, how much of an advantage do you think that extra rest is for LA, for the Lakers side of it? Because we always talk about rest versus rust, right?
Yeah. First of all, I'm super happy that Brian Windhorst has watched Friday. Major points in my book. But when we're talking about rest, I think it matters a lot just because LeBron, you know, for him to get rest, his usage rate has skyrocketed in the bubble. I think he's third amongst active players still playing in the playoffs. So for him, the rest will be extremely beneficial. But overall, we're literally talking about a Nuggets team that has played. You know, it was funny, the interview with Malika and Jokic, he was like, oh, no, I haven't just been to, you know, 2 game sevens. This is 4 counting back, you know? So for them to still continue to pull this off is so impressive. And it's been really impressive just because Jokic in those elimination games, he's balled out. So I'd be concerned, you know, just having a team that's hungry and playing well more so than a team that is rested.
You know, the Lakers have had some challenges that I thought were going to give them problems in these playoffs, and they have handled all of them. Maybe a little wobble, a little bit with Portland, a little bit with Houston. The Lakers have handled their business. And LeBron is locked in, and the other players are playing. If you're going to have to beat the Lakers, you're going to beat them because you're just better than them. You're not going to get some tap-in advantage. I will say that the way the schedule works out and that the teams get whoever wins game 7 is going to get 2 days to rest instead of 1, which happened the last round. We saw the Nuggets just totally gassed in game 1 against the Clippers. There is a bit of an advantage for that because they're going to get 48 hours, but I don't think that rest is going to be a factor. You better get ready for LeBron James, rested, tired, whatever. That's a beast no matter what.
Yeah, I agree. Although I do think, look, you know, we talk about how old he is. Like, it does help. Every extra day of rest helps. So I'm sure they're excited to take it. But I do agree that the team that wins this game 7 actually having the 2 days off, that is more of a factor with the rest-rust component. Usually we wouldn't see that. We would often see a team play just every other night. Now they get 2 days instead. So we'll take a look there. All right, coming up, Giannis met with Bucks ownership over the weekend. He unfollowed a lot of his teammates on social media. How can the Bucks keep Giannis happy? That's next up on The Jump.
Welcome back to The Jump, presented by Best Buy.
The Milwaukee Bucks lose. The best team in the NBA is gone. The best record again in the NBA. The best defense, best offense.
And just were never right in the restart. kind of feel lost. Nobody's gonna be happy.
I'm proud of the guys. They left everything they had. They played together and couldn't get it done tonight.
Hopefully we can build a culture in Milwaukee for many years that we can come out here and compete every single year for the championship.
Okay, over the weekend, Giannis Antetokounmpo unfollowed his Bucks teammates on social media. Although in fairness, I want to point out he actually unfollowed just about anyone he is not related to. This came on the same day that he met with Bucks co-owner Mark Lazary. It was a three-hour lunch meeting to discuss the state of the franchise, according to our Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj also reporting Lazary made it clear the ownership group will spend enough with the luxury tax to deliver him a championship-supporting cast. Chinay, what do you think is going on in Giannis's head right now? If it was you, what would you be thinking and what would be important to you in that lunch meeting or on social media or with your family? What would be going through your head?
Yeah, first of all, you make a really great distinction, Rachel, because if I'm his teammate, I'm like, Giannis unfollowed you. That's what everyone's probably going to do. You go and you're like, oh, he unfollowed everyone. I'm good. I'm not reading too much into that. But I think this is more so about no distractions, because their season obviously had a disappointing end. But what I do like is the fact that immediately they saw the priorities. Giannis himself talking with, you know, ownership. Ownership being the highest chain of command that shows how important he is, you know, to this franchise and how they want to make sure he's happy, but most importantly, make sure that he believes in their successful future. And speaking of, you know, Mark Lazary, it's funny because the last two games I did the celebrity game, and he's out there hooping. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna say he was the best one out there, but he was out there hooping. And so this is a guy that will do whatever it takes. I know a part of the conversation talked about, you know, saying we're not afraid of going too far. I don't know how too far is when you're in the luxury tax, but like, you know, too far to make sure that we put the right pieces around, you know, when it comes to, you know, making the right moves just financially, because they're in that tough situation as a franchise with the cap. I think this is more so about Giannis understanding that, look, I'm two-time MVP, defensive player of the year. The expectations have fallen so much on me. Now, who's going to keep that same energy, you know, especially when it comes to a franchise and having the conversation to talk that out, and most importantly, plan it out, hoping that it's not too late, especially going into the last year of his deal.
Giannis is not the type of guy who sends messages through social media following and unfollowing. That's just never who he's been, and I would be stunned if that's what was happening here. From what I understand, this meeting with Mark Lazary was a meeting. It wasn't the meeting, and I know there's a distinction there, but the meeting will be when the Bucks offer him the contract extension, and if that, when that formally happens, that's a massive moment that a lot of Giannis has to think about a lot, and so do the Bucks. And I do know Mark Lazary, and I know what I know about him is that he is very confident and yet very laid back. He is the exact type of guy that you want to have philosophical discussions about, because he is open-minded and he will have strong opinions, but he'll listen to what you have to say. So I think it was probably a very pleasant three-hour discussion. I doubt anything was resolved, but the fact that they're talking and that Giannis is focusing on next season is a positive sign for the Bucks.
Yeah, well, Woj also reporting that Mike Budenholzer is expected to be back next season to coach the team. Brian, what do you think of that? Let's just start with the Bud aspect first. What do you think of that? Because the non-con Bud has been great regular season coach, doesn't make adjustments in the playoffs, and there were critics during that series with the Miami Heat that the adjustments weren't made. What do you think of that aspect of the report?
Yeah, and it's fair. It's fair to criticize how Mike Budenholzer's teams have performed in the playoffs, because generally they have underperformed in his tenure, and that's something that they've got to deal with. But they also have to work on other things on the roster, and Giannis has a very good relationship with Mike Budenholzer, and, you know, I think that, you know, Giannis's opinion would matter, but I don't even think Giannis would even need to make a statement on something like that. You either know whether your coach supports your whether your player supports your coach or not. You don't even have to ask if you have your finger on the pulse of your players. And John Horst and Mark Lazary and the Bucks ownership do. And so I think the Bucks have more things to do with their roster than they would have to do with their coach.
I absolutely agree. I'm not so, you know, worried about the coaching. I think, you know, when you're in the court of public opinion, where a lot of people criticize how things played out, not just the expectations on Giannis, but also on Coach Bud, that sort of will correct itself more. So I think the idea is who's going to help doing the correcting on the floor. The question is going to be, how do you retool, you know, this roster? And I know it's going to be a difficult task, but the goal is to surround Giannis with as much talent that can compete and not make him feel like he has to do so much. I know we were all impressed with him averaging 30 and 14 and 6 on less minutes than the season before, but it's sort of like, do you want him doing that? Don't you want him just playing basketball free without the whole expectation that he has to be the savior for this franchise? Because if you look at the nature of the NBA, no one team that is successful is doing it by themselves. I know Chris Middleton made some strides, but to me, most importantly, it's finding a top-tier guard, a guard that he can play with. But most importantly, Giannis sort of has the free rein because there's not necessarily a guard that stands out where he's going to be like, oh, I'm going to outlet the ball to you. You need to have someone that he outlets the ball to and can sort of play off ball in the pick and roll, in the post where it's his strengths, instead of bringing the ball up and them having, like the Miami Heat did, that wall on the free throw line where they can game plan and strategize. So I think that's the big question. How will this team look coming next season or even in the future?
Well, it's going to be interesting. We'll have to see if there are some phone calls made between the Milwaukee front office and, I don't know, maybe the front office in Oklahoma City. Who knows? Who knows where that guard could come from? Coming up on this show, we're going to talk more about the Denver Nuggets. They have come back from double-digit deficits twice in this series versus the Clippers. Is that something, nothing, or everything heading into Game 7? We'll discuss that next right here on The Jump. Tomorrow, 6 o'clock Eastern, NBA Countdown tips off our coverage of the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 1 between Celtics and Heat, and then Game 7 of the Western Conference Semis between the Nuggets and Clippers. It's win or go home. I'll be on the sideline for that one, so come check us out, ESPN Deportes and the ESPN app. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm here with Chinne Ogumike, Brian Windhorst, and guys, after a busy weekend in the NBA bubble, it's time for a round of something, nothing, or everything. Let's talk a little Clippers. They had two chances to close out the Nuggets this weekend. The Clippers blew double-digit leads in both games. Nuggets have forced a Game 7, are now on the verge of another 3-1 series comeback. Remember, they did that against Utah in the first round. So, Chinne, is the Clippers squandering leads something, nothing, or everything?
It's everything, because I thought they were going to wrap it up earlier, but more importantly, I think I mentioned earlier that Nikola Jokic is averaging 27, 12, and 6, and is 6-1 in elimination games. So I'm like a little worried because he's playing some really good basketball when his back is up against the wall. So this is everything. And it's everything for us because we get to know we're probably hopefully going to see a really great Game 7.
It's everything. I mean, think of the stakes. We're talking about your season on the line. I mean, the idea of winning five consecutive elimination games in the same postseason is absolutely unheard of. It's also damn impressive. And even if you count the comebacks, that in and of itself, if you have three 15-point second-half comebacks in any 2 weeks in the season, it's awesome, much less the fact that it's in the playoffs, much less that they're all in elimination games. I mean, we're talking about an outlier on top of an outlier here. And it's just wild to see. And I got to say, I think despite everything that's happened, this game, I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea. Even in no matter what happens, if the Clippers are up by 25 in the first quarter or the Nuggets are up by 25, we have no idea how this is going to play out all the way till the end.
Rachel, can we be honest really quick, because obviously football is back. We were all excited. There were games galore. I just bought my like Sunday ticket for the first time. I was super hyped. And so I kept checking in on the score, and I was like, what in the world is happening here? I thought that was a pleasant surprise for us basketball fans in the middle of NFL Twitter and NFL timelines going crazy. I know we're dealing with NBA Twitter, but the convergence where we're in the middle of, you know, the start of the NFL season and also the NBA, and also getting this sweet surprise by the Nuggets, who I think after, you know, game one of the series, we were like, okay, they're going to be tired. How much energy will they have? The ability for them to force a game seven, and as Brian said, doing it despite the like the huge hole that they've dug and then chipped away and chipped away at, I was super impressed, and I was shook.
Yeah, Nuggets made you change the channel. We'll see if they can do that in game seven as well. I agree with Brian. I just keep coming into this game going, I have no idea what's going to happen, which is the best way to have a game seven in all of sports. All right. Before the Rockets were eliminated on Saturday, we had a little incident, friends. Russell Westbrook took issue with some comments coming from the player's family section. Turns out it was Rajon Rondo's brother, William, who was doing the chirping. Now, he was escorted out by security. It's not, I want to make this clear, he wasn't being repeatedly abusive. They didn't escort him out under the same conditions that you would escort a fan out in a regular circumstance. It's because this is such an unusual circumstance in the bubble, Chinay, the idea that you can hear everything and they have told players and families in that section, you cannot speak. And so the fact that he did, that got him escorted out. Is this something, nothing, or everything, friend?
This is something for Russ and nothing for Rondo's brother. Something for Russ in the sense that you had this beef, but guess what? He's still able to go back and watch his team play despite getting ejected. So and also it sort of blows my mind here because we've seen like the cute shots of like, you know, spouses and their kids in one section, and we're seeing moms, and now like to everything is being heard, and for it to cause this kind of friction, it sort of just showed that things were unraveling for the Rockets, so I'm not surprised. So I guess it's nothing, even though it was something for Russ, and it hurt him the most.
Yeah, it's something for Russ to deal with going forward, because you know that when we get fans back in arenas, that fans who are close are going to work on Russell's ear about this incident. You know, they're going to say when you were getting worked out of the playoffs by the Lakers and Rondo that you had a guy thrown out. Even if that's not the way it went down, that was the perception. So I also think that this is not going to be the last time we're going to have some action in the fan section, because the games are only going to get more intense. And those guys and girls are all used to having emotion during games. I don't know if anybody's going to get ejected, but we're going to see some action in those sections.
Well, certainly everyone on notice now. All right, since we last left you on the jump on Friday, the NBA did announce its investigation finding that Daniel House had an unauthorized guest. I'm just going to put it that way, an unauthorized guest in his hotel room for multiple hours on Tuesday. No other players or staff reportedly had contact with the guest or were found to be involved in the incident, according to the league. He was left the bubble before Game 5, and here were James Harden's comments about the situation.
Very, very disappointing. And it affected us, you know. Obviously, we still had to go out there and play a basketball game or play a series, but it affected us because, you know, obviously, you know, just the distraction, and then he was a huge, you know, part of our rotation. But, you know, we still had to go out there and compete and try to get games, try to win games.
Brian, is House getting expelled from the bubble something, nothing, or everything?
Well, I think it's something because you heard what James said there. You know, I think the real issue is the Rockets only go like 8 guys deep. And I know that even at this point in the playoffs, nobody's playing 10 guys. But the Rockets especially, when they get a guy in foul trouble, it messes their whole rotation because they can't really go farther down the bench. So losing a guy for anything is a blow to a team like the Rockets, who are so thin. Then when you add the fact that there was controversy, and by the way, the Houston Chronicle reported that ultimately Daniel House admitted that the NBA was right in its investigation. And so not only do you have the fact of a guy showing losing the guy, but the guy showing poor judgment as well.
Shout out to the Houston Chronicle, because I really didn't know that part, but now it's like I feel even worse. And what I really want to say, I can't even say, I'm going to just plead the fifth, but I do think this is everything because, you know, you're seeing situations where there's hope, you know, in the bubble with the basketball. Like a lot of teams that we thought were down and out still have, you know, hope and can turn things around. We've seen it happen with Portland in their run to even get into the playoffs. We've seen it happen, obviously, most recently with how everything is just transpiring with play. Like, there's always hope for some reason in this bubble. And so for us to lose our hope through not something that happens in the confines of the court, that to me was the most frustrating, especially being a Houston Rockets fan and stan.
Yeah, I mean, one thing, Brian, I thought has been interesting here in the bubble is that, quote, distractions almost become bigger distractions, whether it's just an injury and waiting to see if a guy's going to take the court or not when we're dealing with Giannis's ankle for those couple days. There's really nothing else to do here, yeah. Right? I mean, this is all anybody's thinking or talking about.
Yeah, because everything is about basketball. There's no escape. So you think people gossip, in regular business, think about it when you have no home to go to. It's all that. And then think about what, you know, was going with you other teams when this went down. And think about other stuff that was going on in the bubble that maybe the league doesn't know about. So this is going to be a story that continues to play out, and it's going to be a partial story about the end of this Rockets season, like it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, these teams in such close contact with each other as well. The Houston Rockets were the only team left in their hotel. But now I'm sitting at the team hotel for all the teams left in the playoffs. So when there is a distraction or an incident, you're going to get teams going. It's going to involve everybody, not just the team they're in. All right, coming up, we're going to preview the Eastern Conference Finals matchup between the Celtics and the Heat. What has been the edge? What are some of the key matchups? Keep it locked right here, because that's coming up next on The Jump.
The Jump is presented by Best Buy. If you can't be there, feel there. Bring the game home when you upgrade to a big Sony TV today. And in part by Gatorade. For athletes who make the days count, nothing beats Gatorade.
It's the WNBA playoffs start tomorrow night. We're going to have both single elimination first round games on ESPN2 and the app Sun Sky 7 Eastern. And then it's the Mystics and Mercury. It's winner go home time in the Wobble, people. And it's crunch time here on The Jump. Chinee, sticking with those WNBA games. Which is the spicier first round matchup, Sun versus Sky or the Mystics versus the Mercury?
Both are equally spicy, but I would have to give the extra, like, you know, when you order the super, super spicy, to probably the Sun and Sky, just because the Sun went to the finals last season. They're playing with a number of players missing, including Jonquel Jones, and the Sky, they were a team that was looked to be favorites this year to win it all. They're playing with a number of players that have been missed as well, but that means we see a lot of people stepping up, and these two are like super competitive, cohesive bunches. They're teams that lead on chemistry, so I'm picking that matchup, and I have to give the nod, you know, to, I guess I'm gonna have to, I was gonna make a pick, but I'm not gonna do that. It's gonna be a great game. It's gonna be a great game.
Here's what I've learned about TV, Chinee. If they don't make you make a pick, you don't make a pick, because, you know, there's no need. That playoff schedule, though, is happening, and I really, these games are so good, and the stakes are so very high. Let's move on to Pau Gasol and his wife, Catherine. They have named their newborn baby after the daughter of his former Lakers teammate and friend, of course, Kobe Bryant. Brian, her middle name is Gianna. How special is this?
This would warm Kobe's heart, and it certainly warms the heart of all of his fans. We saw recently Pau spending time with Kobe's family out on the water, and obviously they were very close as teammates. You know, Pau rescued Kobe Bryant's Lakers career, and beyond the personal connection, that was a big part of his career as well.
This is extremely lovely.
Absolutely, and look, they had.
I love to see it, mm-hmm. Rach, just more so because Pau is another guy that has been so generous in giving to the game as well, you know, just being there and being a welcome ear to players to pick the brain. You know, I'm a post, so I think, you know, she will have a lot of shoes to fill, especially on the court, because hopefully, you know, we'd see him mentor her too as a basketball player in honor of Gigi as well.
Absolutely. And Pau and Kobe, you know, it wasn't always smooth with the two of them. And to both of their credit, they forged a partnership that ended up in some of the championships Kobe Bryant holds most dear. All right, Lonzo Ball signed with Clutch Sports. Lonzo Ball has signed with Clutch Sports. I'm just going to keep repeating that. He said, quote, I wanted to lead my career picking my own representation just solely as my decision was step one in that process. Chinee, do you like this move by Lonzo?
Look, get paid, young man, get paid. Look, a lot of players end up signing with Clutch, especially when they have, you know, extensions on the horizon, so I'm not mad at it. Also, you know, when you have a sibling that's also doing a lot with his brand, especially with LaMelo coming into the draft, I think it's good to have your own team as well, so I know what that's about as well.
This is a very interesting move, because when Anthony Davis and Rich Paul forced his way out of New Orleans, there was some damage done within that organization that has not been forgotten. Certainly Lonzo is well aware of that, and he is up for an extension this offseason. This was an interesting move. We're going to have to see how it plays out. David Griffin has done a lot of business with Rich Paul from his Cleveland days, but those talks were always tough. Let's see how this goes.
I think they're both professionals, though. They're not people who are known individually for holding big grudges. And look, I love the quote from Lonzo. I thought that was so important. It was very obvious early in his career he was, let's say, steered by his father. And the fact that he is making his own decision and those conversations now get to become between him and his agent as an adult, I think that's a big deal. I think that's important for him, and I certainly commend him on it. All right, guys, I want to turn our attention to the Eastern Conference. Here is a look at how the Celtics-Raptors series ended over the weekend. A little refresher for you.
there will be a game seven, fittingly, in this series. Two teams giving everything they got.
We feel good about ourselves.
We're just trying to find a way to win the next game.
Don't get too much better than this.
It's a good start tonight in game seven. Wouldn't expect anything else. Left-handed scoop is good. Brown on the other end, the two-handed jam. Powell with Smart defending. Oh, it's blocked by Smart. Van Vliet puts up a prayer, and it's into the hands of Walker. The Boston Celtics hang on to win game seven.
Tomorrow on ESPN, the Celtics and Heat beginning their series with a trip to the NBA Finals on the line. Now, the Celtics won two of three regular season matchups, although the Heat won their only contest here in the bubble. So, Brian, what are you looking for in this series?
Well, this is going to be a tremendous strategy game between Brad Stevens and Eric Spoelstra. And where I'm really watching is to see how the Heat handle that Celtics offense. You know, when they lost Gordon Hayward, I thought they were going to have trouble scoring. On the contrary, they have become vicious, effective, efficient on offense. And you're going to have to scramble and cover all five of those guys at different times, athletic guys. Eric Spoelstra is going to have a game plan for it. And I want to see how that plays out, especially early in the series.
Yeah, I agree. I'm super torn when it comes to this matchup because my heart sort of lies obviously with Tomball, Texas, and Jimmy Butler, considered I was born in Tomball. But like my heart lies with them because of how hard they compete just as a team and within the entire organization, that culture that we always talk about, the culture. But then on the other end, like my brain is telling me the Celtics just because their talent upside is just tremendous even without Gordon Hayward. And I remember going into the bubble, this is a team, the Celtics, that finished top five in both offensive and defensive efficiency. They can win both ways, you know, hunkering down on defense, but also exploding on offense. I think Kemba Walker will be the key boost for them. If he gets back to playing his game, the Celtics have even a better chance of making it to the NBA Finals.
Well, I have to say, Gordon Hayward looked good just in the late shooting around in practice as he did. Our producer, Andrea, was taking some video the other day and sent it to me, and I was like, he looks like he could play now. They are thinking he will come back during this series, which means, Brian, you know what time it is. You know it's time when we're waiting for Gordon Hayward to come back or not from an injury. It's time for...
I've heard it before.
I'm just saying. We're not bringing Haywatch out today, but I'm just warning all of our Jump viewers it might be coming. All right, thank you guys so much for joining us today. The Jump back on ESPN tomorrow. See you then.